This podcast is part of the TPS Radio Sports Podcast Network at www.tpsradio.net.
Austin 316 says I just whipped your ass.
19, you big fat sucker!
A $2, no, 50 cent, no. Buy two, get one free. Does anybody have change or nickel? Bring it!
WW Pod, Mike and James here for the next hour on TPS Radio, the wrestling talk show with no adverts. There you go. I'm putting that up there for our listeners. Okay, bragging rights, but there's something bigger than a WWE bragging rights. Breaking news today, day of recording, Tuesday the 28th, isn't it?
27th.
Oh, yes, 27th. 28th is tomorrow.
You're in the future again.
Yeah, I think I'm excited about my first proper payday for my new job. That's probably why. Okay, well, Mike, we discussed it before the show. Hogan signs with TNA, and it looks like Eric Bischoff is going along with the ride because his company will be working with TNA as well. What do you think, Mike?
Stunned. I am, in a way, I'm more stunned by Bischoff.
Really?
Yes, because Bischoff is, he very publicly left wrestling when he stopped being the GM of Raw. Of course, a little while later, that proved not to be true because he did the celebrity wrestling and he did, but that was still television. He runs a television company. And then he started doing the Hulkamania tour. So I was like, oh, perhaps he's getting back into it again. But what the hell is he going to be doing with TNA? I have to know this because I love Bischoff.
I have absolutely no idea. You never know. If he's put in charge in any case, let's hope he sorts their booking. Well, actually, their booking has not been that bad recently, considering Russo's up there. If you remember, go back to our Bound for Glory. We were moderately happy, but it's kind of like a thumbs in the middle show, you know?
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed.
But we didn't criticise the booking too much, if I remember.
No, I don't think we did at all.
So, there you go. Yeah, Hulk Hogan. I tell you what, you're an actor, Mike. You can get in the skin of people. You can be people. You have this talent of becoming people as an actor, right?
That is true.
So, put the Vince McMahon skin on. What is Vince McMahon thinking? What would Vince McMahon feel when he sees that? Eric Bischoff, Hulk Hogan, TNA.
I don't need Hogan. And I don't need Bischoff.
So, I mean, do you think you'll be worried?
I think I'll be mildly concerned for Hulk Hogan's first appearance, but that's about it.
Yes. Well, I mean, funny, like the last time Hogan signed with a company that wasn't Vince McMahon's properly was a WCW. And what happened there?
That's a good point, but at the time, Hogan was about 40, not like 55.
That is very true. However, there was an Eric Bischoff also behind that company. Now, I don't know how we can only speculate how much power or what, you know, he's going to have here, but...
I'd be more concerned how much power they're going to give Hogan.
It's one of those things, isn't it? It's almost like it's like walking a tightrope in the sense that if they did it right, this could really, really help them. Not only in TV ratings, but their pay-per-view numbers as well.
Definitely, if they use him right, and to us it's kind of difficult to use Hogan badly, he's that big a star, then yes, it could be brilliant.
Yeah, there is a big but, though. It could end up really going against them.
Well, it is possible. I mean, if Hogan refuses to lose all the time and won't put any of the TNA guys over, then yes, it could be a problem. But I certainly think it's going to be difficult to mess this up.
Yes, it will be difficult. Having said that, TNA it potentially can find a way to mess it up. It's done
that
it before.
Is true. They have done it before, but that was more with the old booking regime.
That is very true. I can't really argue about that. That is very so. Well, we can only hope that it goes right. And it's almost like they've been given the tools to do it. They just need, you know what I mean? And they've got all the tools. They had all the tools before, but they've this could be push them into the semi big time. I see this as a good thing for TNA, but as we said, it could go badly wrong. I'm looking forward to it. I tell you what, it's going to be interesting to see the pay-per-view numbers for the first Hogan appearance on a pay-per-view, or indeed match on a pay-per-view. Who would he face? What feud is he going to be in? Are we going to get Hogan Sting, for example? You got Hogan Angle. We've seen both of them before. What we haven't seen before, perhaps, is a Hulk Hogan Samoa Joe or something.
It's such a weird thought, isn't it? How would those two work together that you can't get any more different?
No, yeah, that is very true. I mean, have Samoa Joe eventually beat Hogan? That would definitely help things, wouldn't it?
See, I love that idea, but again, would Hogan do it?
That is the big thing. That is, he did say in an interview before WrestleMania 25, if he was to have a match with Stone Cold, he would have no problem losing.
Indeed, he said. I remember hearing that as well.
But obviously, that would be the money would be very. There'll be a lot of money for Hogan to do that, though. I mean, even be at WrestleMania, you know. And they didn't. And I think both of us felt at the time that was a bit of a mistake that Vince didn't cash in on a Hulk Hogan appearance at WrestleMania 25.
I wonder where TNA are getting the money for Hogan.
I know Spike helped. Definitely at the beginning. I don't know if they do so much now. They help with Sting's and possibly Kurt Angle's salary.
Oh, I didn't know. I didn't know they helped with Angle.
Possibly. I'm a bit hazy there. Definitely Sting, though, they helped with at first. Whether they still are, I'm not too sure.
I think if Hogan is willing to do the odd job to help get himself over in a new company, this could only be a good thing. I think it's fantastic for TNA.
It is. I mean, when you look at, I mean, the last time Hogan got someone over, and also The Rock got the same guy over, it took two people to get this guy mega over. I never really cared for him much, though. But Brock Lesnar, you know, beating the Hulk Hogan and The Rock almost consecutively in the same month, if you remember, with their lineup in 2002, I believe.
I know it was SummerSlam 2002 where Lesnar beat Rock. Yeah, did he beat Hulk as well?
Yes, I think it was one of the SmackDown shows leading up to it. The idea was, oh goodness me, Brock Lesnar just destroyed Hulk Hogan and he's coming for The Rock. What's The Rock? Brock Lesnar's too much for The Rock as well.
I understand. I didn't know that, actually.
Ah, well, now you do. And that really helped make Brock Lesnar, I think, especially after The Rock thing.
Yes, well, after the Rock thing, I mean, because this is the thing where, because Rock was sort of booed out of the building, wasn't he? Because he was going off to do movies.
Yes, he was. But then, I think once Brock Lesnar actually had the title, he was booed. Brock Lesnar was being booed once they realised the Rock had lost. Funny.
That's weird.
But yeah, they were booing The Rock. There were even chants of Rocky sucks because he was going back to the movies.
See, he's very good, isn't he? This boy is very good at noticing crowds. James is so good at noticing crowd reaction.
Why, thank you very much. I don't know.
Very good at it.
Oh, thank you. Well, yeah, I think it helps. I mean, maybe I'm being biased. When it comes to crowds, I'll always say that England, because the WWE doesn't come here that much, or TNA, or a big wrestling organisation, they always seem to get one of the better crowd reactions of the year, I feel. Maybe that's probably me being a bit biased, but when they do come to the UK, it seems that we're so grateful. I mean, I remember one year, Hardcore Holly got a standing ovation because it was the first match, for example,
We are so fucking loud. That's the thing.
That's true.
We are so loud as a nation.
We are. And,
I didn't know about Hardcore Holly getting a standing ovation. Bloody hell. How many of those has he got in his career?
That was the one.
Just that one, I think.
So, yeah. Yeah, because what happened was, I think it was the first, it was like the first, it was like a, It was the Raw, I believe it was the Raw TV taping in 2008, and his was the first match out. Obviously, they didn't tape it. It was a dark match, but he came out, and obviously, because it was the first match, you know, his music came, he was just cheered. He won the match, and everyone was going, Holly, Holly, you know, everyone was chanting, and everyone stood up, and they were shouting, and ended up bowing to the crowd, saying thank you very much. You know, in terms of the fact it was Hardcore Holly, it was a nice moment.
That sounds lovely.
Yes, it does sound lovely. I don't know what Hardcore Holly's up to at the moment, but...
I was wondering that as well, yeah.
But there you go. WWE released him, didn't they? Apparently, he wasn't that popular backstage, if you believe internet reports.
Really? Even despite being there all that time?
Yes. I think he had the same stigma as a JBL, a bit of a locker room bully.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so, but then again, I think, well, let's be honest, the reason why JBL left WWE was one Joey Styles socking it to him.
That's true, and suddenly Joey Styles was the one who everyone feared.
Yes, Joey Styles. Yes, he needs a career in the UFC, doesn't he? Bring him back. Oh, talking about announcers, JR has had a, unfortunately, that third attack of Bell's palsy. I've spelled that, pronounced that wrong, but you know what I mean.
I know exactly what you mean. It all went wrong. But yeah, he's had a third attack of Bell's palsy. The poor bastard.
I know. And if I was Vince McMahon, while JR rests up, I would say, I can't wait for you to come back, but don't rush, please. And we'll give you all the support. And meanwhile, for goodness sake, instead of having these ridiculous announcers, just bring Joey Styles back for a while.
Oh, that would be good.
Yeah, and it would also make a lot of sense.
But at the same time, though, one thing you've got now, you've got Cole and King. We know that's fine. Or for most of us, it's fine.
Goodness me. By the way, Michael Cole, right?
Yeah?
This is vintage bragging rights.
Yeah, that must have been a joke.
No, my what?
That must have been a joke.
Vintage bragging rights. Come on. Come on.
It must
Please.
Have been a gag.
You think
have
it was
a sense of humour, for God's sake. Yeah. That was a gag.
No, because that would have been... That's too highbrow for Michael Cole, surely.
Oh, come on. After Vintage Shrimp, he's on a high. He thinks he's the funniest fucker in the world.
Yeah, well, true. Vintage bragging rights. Oh, no.
I'm going to assume it was a gag.
You're going to assume it was a gag?
Yes, for now. Maybe Vince McMahon fed it to him through the sets. Vintage bragging rights.
I know. You do sense, though, that when it comes to the announcers, that sometimes you feel that, you know, if they were just allowed to be themselves, they'd be much better at it. You sometimes feel that, you know, you got Vince or other people shouting in their ears what to say, when if you just let them be themselves, like Joey Styles was in ECW and things like that, they sit... I think they would have a much better commentary team.
Basically, if they were themselves, they'd have a lot more insider comments and it'd be a lot more fun.
Yeah, it would be a lot more fun. And quite often when you've got one of the early matches on Raw that doesn't really mean much in the grand scheme of things, they just end up plugging the main event for 70% of that match, which is plugging the main event's fine, but not for 70% of the match. You know, and then they wonder why no one cares about it, or they're not making new stars.
You make a good point. And speaking of making new stars, I was kind of hoping they would do that with the Survivor Series main event.
Oh, you've watched Raw. I know the Survivor Series main event. Let me guess, is it? Do we have another amalgamation of a John Cena or Triple H or Randy Orton being in the main event?
Yes, we do.
Yes, it's never ending, is it, Mike?
It's like number 27.
It's getting near 30. That's for sure. Yeah,
it is getting near 30.
Yep. Number 27, perhaps. And goodness me, yeah. Shawn Michaels, Triple H, and John Cena. Is that right?
That's right. And I'm not saying I don't think it could be a cool match. I was sitting there in two minds. I was sitting there thinking, "Oh, this is cool," but at the same time, I wish you'd said MVP.
Yeah, I know. I think perhaps their idea is that Survivor Series is one of the big four and they need a nice, couple of marquee matches to go in. I mean, heaven knows if it what looks like to be the main event on SmackDown, they need something big like this. Exactly. So, yeah. Having said that, I would love to see on a B show, because it's a B show. Yeah, an MVP versus John Cena. You know, goodness me, like pull up, but give it a chance, or just have a new guy versus the Undertaker rather than the Big Show.
That's we do have to give them credit on one thing.
Yep.
Orton versus Kingston.
That could be interesting, couldn't it? Especially what Kingston supposedly did to Orton's brand new car.
I watched it. He did do that.
He did do the thuggery of it.
The thuggery. A real funny bugger lives here.
What did you think of Kofi Kingston's new, well, I wouldn't say gimmick, but his character change?
What, him being slightly more edgy?
Yes, and no more Jamaican, Mon.
I am a little puzzled that because when a couple of weeks ago, suddenly they had him speak in his real voice, I was like, you fucking idiots. That's just completely killing a gimmick. I mean, yeah, we all found out that he wasn't really from Jamaica, right? He's from Africa. So, well, I don't know if even that's true now.
Well, he's not from Jamaica.
No. Did you miss this?
Yeah. Did I miss what?
Did you not know he wasn't from Jamaica?
No. I knew he wasn't from Jamaica. Yeah, I remember reading it in the news quite a while ago, actually.
Yeah, I mean, I heard he was from Ghana.
That's what I heard, actually.
Yes, then they started saying on Raw that he was from Ghana, but he sounds like he's from, like, fucking Delaware.
Well, Kofi Kingston.
Yeah, man, I'm from Buffalo.
As you said, Randy Orton versus Kofi Kingston. It could be good.
Are they really doing much of a character change, really? Because he's the same in the ring.
Yeah, that's true. I think they're just trying to make him a bit more real, rather than like a comic slash, you know, like caricature of like a Jamaican man. They're just trying to make him, you know, be himself more, perhaps.
I don't know exactly if this is a permanent change we're seeing. All I know is it's setting up for someone else having a crack at the main event, and I'm delighted.
Yep, they're doing exactly what we've been we've said they should do. We've been complaining about it, but they're not making new stars. And hopefully, let's hope over this, you know, between now and WrestleMania, they do. And they kind of need to, especially if the rumours that it could be Shawn Michaels' last WrestleMania are true.
Indeed, they got to do something.
Yeah, they do. I'm still saying I reckon Chris Jericho versus The Undertaker at WrestleMania. That's my early prediction for WrestleMania.
A bit of me was wondering if they should hold off Batista Rey until then as well.
They won't, though, will they? I think now Batista's gone here. They'll probably have it the first match at Survivor Series. But yeah, it would make sense if they did hold it off.
Yeah, I mean, it just crossed my mind if they could hold it off and have Rey win the Rumble again. Perhaps Batista gets the strap.
Oh, that'd be good. I can't see Rey winning the Rumble again, though. After, you know, we know Vince McMahon don't like small guys being champions.
Vince McMahon does not like small guys. Like Eric Bischoff.
Yeah, yes. So, but yeah, would you, in 2010, would Rey be a legitimate champion on SmackDown, do you think? Could he?
I think if the fans ask for it, they should give it.
I wouldn't be against it. Even if they had, you know, a short title reign, I still would be quite happy. I'd imagine it probably would be a short title reign if it was Rey Mysterio. Cause...
No pun intended.
Yeah, haha. Oh, yeah, I just realised what I did. There you go. Yes, it probably would be a short title reign, though, no doubt. If you look at the way WWE operates and the fact that they wouldn't want Rey Mysterio to be that much of a dominant champion.
He'd have like a cup of tea reign, as they say.
Yes, that's a good way of putting it. A cup of tea reign. So, anyway, yeah, so...
I don't even like tea.
I love tea. I love a cup of tea, especially when I come in on a cold day at work, come January, December, and have a nice tea when I get in. It's good.
I come in off after a cold day and have a... I'll let your imagination run with that.
No, because that's have a what? See that the space for imagining is far too wide to comprehend.
Oh, you mean people could think I mean something like I have a traction engine ride?
Yes, traction engine ride.
Let's go with that. When I come in from after a cold day, if I've been working somewhere, if I've been doing a play or something, I have a ride on a traction engine.
Yes. I imagine you're in a traction engine now with a nice hat.
Oh, I have a lovely traction engine hat.
Well, smoking a pipe at the same time. Yes.
Smoking a pipe on my traction engine, going through the streets of London town.
Ah, oh, and then all is right with the world.
All is right with the world. Me and a beautiful lady beside me, a pipe, traction engine, and a hat.
Yes. So, any last thoughts about TNA, Hogan, Bischoff? I tell you what, before you say that, one funny thing is last week, I don't know if we reported it, but Ken Kennedy had been advised not to sign with TNA because he was on this Hulk Hogan, tour, the Hulkamania tour. And he got advised not to sign with TNA because WWE might be interested again after the tour. This is looking a bit ominous now.
We did report that, yes. Yes, is the Hulkamania tour off?
I don't know. No news, so I'm assuming it's still on in some guys.
When is it supposed to happen?
I don't actually know.
Because this is the thing. I mean, if he's signed with TNA, does that mean the tour's off? Because if it does, then perhaps Kennedy will suddenly be looking at TNA.
That's true. Having said that, goodness me, if they have, like, if Australia's excited about this tour, for the Hulkamania tour, goodness me. And now Eric Bischoff's company, which is obviously probably running the tour, has now signed with TNA. What an opportunity for TNA to go to Australia and perhaps record a few impacts instead, you know?
Exactly. TNA plus Hogan in Australia, where they seem to still really love the guy. Yeah, it'd be huge.
Yep, which is, we can only hope it's going to happen. I mean, yeah, for me, if I was running the company, that would make business sense. I mean, goodness me, it might be a bit expensive to get out there, but wow, wouldn't the crowds be hot? You'd probably sell a crap load of merchandise as well.
They're already going out there.
Well, exactly, so there you go.
So yeah, why the hell not? If you can get Hogan in time, do it, quick!
Yeah, quick. I mean, I've always wondered when TNA comes to our neck of the woods across the pond, I've always wondered why they haven't recorded an impact. The two times that I've watched a show here, and you know, you watched it as well, Mike. It was amazing, fantastic matches, and yeah, the crowd were, amazing.
Indeed, it was a cool show. The crowd were really, really into it. It was the biggest crowd TNA ever played to. Yeah, bring some TV cameras next time. Why not?
Yeah, because they didn't last them, and you really felt that. They kind of shot themselves in the foot. That was a missed opportunity. I mean, let's be honest. Impact recorded, pre-recorded anyway. Having Impact from the UK, that is a nice thing to do.
Should be a no-brainer.
Yep, and they didn't do it. So there you go. That goes to show that's just silliness. So Hogan and TNA, any last things to say?
Well done, TNA. But I can't wait to see what Bischoff's part is.
No, nor can I. I'm quite excited. I think the wrestling world is definitely a buzz today, and probably going over the weekend into the weekend as we get more news of this.
Definitely, definitely. The place, the wrestling world is going to be going ooh.
Ooh.
But by the way, before we move on from TNA as a whole, we have to mention TNA's new home in the UK,
which is
Virgin One.
Ah, so
which is available on Freeview.
Wow.
Yeah, because in a few years' time, right, Freeview is going to be normal TV, if you know what I mean.
Yes.
That means if Virgin One is still on Freeview by the digital switchover in 3 years' time, TNA Impact will be on terrestrial television.
So even now, potentially, TNA Impact, as we've said with Bravo before, it's kind of on free... There's easier opportunities to get that than there is all the Sky Sports packages for you to see WWE, because, you know, Sky's with WWE. So potentially, they have a much, much bigger audience than WWE does.
Definitely. I mean, we all know that recently TNA, for what reason or another, seems to have been beating WWE in some of the ratings battles here in the UK. Now they've moved to Virgin One, it'll probably happen even more. If there's still enough casual fans out there who want to have a look at wrestling, who say used to have Sky Sports but now don't, say they can't afford it anymore, they'll be tuning in. It's a good time for TNA.
That is a good time for TNA. And goodness me, I mean... That I tell you what they could do. If Virgin wanted to fuck up, pardon my language, my French, I said the F word, but if they wanted to mess up WWE, wouldn't it be a good idea? One of the biggest rated Raw shows is not necessarily the live one. I think the Friday Raw show as well, when they repeat it on Friday, gets quite high numbers. Goodness me, Virgin One, you know, having Impact on that Friday as well. That'd be interesting, you know, rather than the Saturday.
Thursday.
Or having it on the Thursday. I mean, yeah, why not have it on the same day, the Thursday, you know, the same day that WWE have their, I think, SmackDown? Is it Thursday? No, that's Friday. What am I doing? Mike, help me.
What are you doing?
I have no idea. Okay.
Oh, don't worry. I know what you're trying to say. I'll help you out. What you're saying, why don't we have TNA Impact shown on Thursdays opposite the replay of Raw, Mike?
Yes, that's what I meant. I thought, opposite the replay of Raw. And, hey, TNA Impact is on Thursdays anyway, down in America. So, which is, you know, so that kind of makes sense. Going into the pay-per-view as well, it's on Saturdays normally, or Bravo. But the thing about it being on a Saturday...
Yeah, that sucks.
And most people are out on Saturdays. You know,
you
have it prime time, Virgin One. I know Virgin One as well used to show The Ultimate Fighter, which Spike does as well, which gets nice numbers as well. You know, like Fight Nights and stuff. So, there you go. I mean, there's two shows that can go together hand in hand. And yeah, TNA Impact on a Thursday, more people are going to potentially watch it. Because, hey, not everyone goes out on a Thursday. A lot more people are busy on a Saturday night.
Exactly. I mean, a lot of the time I miss Impact or I see it a couple of days later because, you know, who's in on a Saturday?
Exactly. You know, I mean, fair enough. Sometimes
you're about to say yourself then.
Oh, I am sometimes. But yeah, when it's the only time I'm actually in on a Saturday is when I'm watching a UFC pay-per-view. But I mean, but sometimes I'm in on a Saturday. Yeah, no, you're right. I'm not. And what about having their pay-per-views? I would say have it prime time on a Monday, the night after. Or have it live and then have the repeat maybe on a Monday, you know, 7, 8 o'clock.
Yeah, I think a Monday night is a good idea.
Yeah, really help push TNA, especially now. You know, hopefully you'll have Hulk Hogan in TNA, a nice big name. And Sting looks to not completely be finished with TNA at the moment.
He's not ruled anything out, has he?
No, he hasn't ruled anything out yet, so...
I tell you what, though, if I was the undercard and they re-signed Sting, I would be quaking in my boots, because whose salary would be next to be cut?
Well, that's true. Yes, yeah, they'll probably get rid of... Well, they've made... When you look at some of the people they've got rid of over this year, it's been a bit silly. You know, Sanjay Dutt was gone... That was a big mistake.
Petey Williams has gone.
Yeah, why? For the sake of what? Get rid of someone like, I don't know, well, they got rid of Booker T. I mean, okay, I love Kevin Nash, but how much can he still do in TNA, for example? Would we miss, I think he's really funny, but would we really miss Kevin Nash if he was gone from TNA now?
Not really, no.
Exactly. We're not going to miss Booker T, really. You know what? A part of me says I'll probably miss Scott Steiner if he left.
Because he's so weird.
I just enjoy Scott Steiner.
On what level?
He's just fun, really, isn't he? You look at him and it's a bit like trash TV. You don't quite know what's going to happen next.
Really? Still?
Still, you know what? We've had such highlights as his wacky promos, you know, calling Joe fat. He's fat. He's fat. He kept saying Scott Steiner tripping over. Scott Steiner bouncing on a pogo stick. Goodness me. It's been endless this year. Endless variety fun with Scott Steiner.
That's true. That is true. I can't deny that. You're right.
Anyway, my point is I'll miss him more than I would Booker T and Kevin Nash. So.
Yeah. Booker T, they carted out in the most pathetic way ever.
Well, yeah, but I think Booker T helped that as well. I think they were relieved to have him gone.
I mean, they made no secret of it on the Impact. A few days later, Rhino came out and said, "Booker T, he's gone." He made no secret of it.
No. Yes, Rhino, one of the most underutilized talents in TNA. We were saying as well, weren't we?
They finally found a storyline for him.
Yep.
Yeah, I mean, basically what he's saying, and this is, it's one of those storylines where a bit of you wonders if it's true. He said the reason he attacked the Dudleys at Bound for Glory was to get their attention. So he could say to them and say to Kurt Angle, who he interrupted in the ring on Impact, I don't know if you saw it, saying, listen, Rhino and the Dudleys, you know, people like us, we built TNA. And now they're bringing in Matt Morgan and all these other guys to replace us. So he now has a storyline of being like a one-man crusade for like the old guard. He's saying like they're pushing Hernandez, they're pushing AJ, they're pushing Matt Morgan. Where's Rhino? You know, that kind of thing. So he actually now has a storyline. It now kind of makes sense.
You mean Rhino matters again, sort of, depending if they mess it up.
Yes, which is good. I like Rhino.
Yeah, I like Rhino as well. He's underutilized, and I mean, one of my favorite things was his feud in WWE with Chris Jericho. I really enjoyed that.
I can't remember now.
I think it ended at SummerSlam 2001. And then they had a nice, enjoyable match. Okay, anyway, talking about WWE, I guess on to WWE bragging rights. Before we discuss the matches, what did you think of the overall show, Mike?
I was quite pleased with it. I thought it was a pretty good show. I thought it was like pretty good from top to bottom. No real fuck up. I liked it.
I say it was better than their Hell in a Cell, their pay per view, and their Breaking Point pay per view as an overall card. I actually agree with you.
Yeah, I think so too. It was Hell in a Cell. I was really disappointed by, but yeah, with this one, as I say, like match by match, the women's match wasn't classic. But everything else fit in perfectly.
Yeah. Okay, I've got the results page. I've got the results page here. Right, okay. You know what? On a day where you had that... The worst match for me was the women's match, right?
Yes, that wasn't
SmackDown Divas versus Raw Divas. Okay, I'm saying this because on a day where you had a rubbish women's match, they had a dark match of Christian versus Paul Burchill. A dark match. Not even shown on TV. Why? Why would you do that, WWE? Why? Why would you do that? Yeah, what? Pardon? Yes. Yeah, so I can understand why they had that bragging rights cup. It was a bit weird, because they didn't make one mention of the bragging rights cup. They didn't make one mention that, you know, whoever wins most of their matches will get the cup, did they? Before the pay-per-view.
Can someone say last minute idea?
Yeah, don't get me wrong. The fact that they had a cup was great. It was a good idea. But I thought, okay, if you're going to give a cup, only make it for that Team SmackDown versus Team Raw. Because let's be honest, right? The minute the Miz beat John Morrison, not that it mattered, but you knew who was going to win the Divas match, didn't you?
Correct.
Exactly. So rendering that Divas match absolutely pointless. Why that should have been a dark match. And they should have had Christian versus Paul Burchill perhaps as the opener or the second match. Anyway, that's my opinion.
Yeah, but how would that have fit into the best of thing?
To the best of? Oh, Raw versus SmackDown.
Yeah.
That's true. It's a stupid gimmick anyway. They should have just left that for the Team SmackDown versus Team Raw. I don't know.
I mean, the fact that they made it a best of three, although one of the matches, it made it very predictable. Don't you think it meant that this random cup meant slightly more? Or is it just me?
No, I think you're probably right there. It's just my disdain, I think, at the poor Divas match compared to what must have been Christian versus Paul Burchill, the wonders they could have showed us. I'm just bitter, Mike.
I can understand that. I feel your pain, James.
Thanks. Miz defeating John Morrison. Good match. Not as good as I hoped it would be, though. I wasn't disappointed. But I really think these two could have a nice ongoing feud. I mean, imagine these two having a feud, starting it up again, maybe like January, February, going on to WrestleMania to have an intercontinental US match, all the gold kind of thing, you know?
Based on this match, I would gladly like to see a series of matches. I liked it. I thought it was really good.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you could restart this feud or have it carry on, but restart it perhaps at the Royal Rumble in January. You know, have them eliminate the other from the Royal Rumble, the other get pissed, and go on from there or something.
That could work fine.
Yeah, as you said, I'll be more than happy to see this match again. And I think, if anything, The Miz is getting a lot better on the mic. John Morrison is good on the mic. I think the promos as well leading up to it could be quite good as well.
Yeah, I mean, the whole Jannetty Gate thing was kind of cool. It was a bit mean.
Yes, but it was cool.
But look at this way, Jannetty got a booking out of it. Woohoo!
Yes, he did. Good old Marty Jannetty. Yes, SmackDown Divas. What
I
we
hope
talked
he's
about.
Okay.
Yes, he is. I haven't read anything, but
okay, fair enough.
I don't know. Marty, you know what? He's one of the few, joking aside, he's one of the few talents that he was a lot more talented than he actually achieved. And some of that was his own doings, in my opinion. There you go. That's my take on Marty Jannetty. What is Michael's take on Marty Jannetty? Mike.
Michael's take on Marty Jannetty is that James knows more about it than me, so I'm going to shut up.
Oh, fair enough. Okay, moving on to the SmackDown Divas match versus the Raw Divas. Average match. Goodness me, why was Michelle McCool in it and why was Kelly Kelly in it? I mean, where was Mickie James? She can wrestle.
Yeah, that was a shame.
You know, goodness me. I haven't seen much of Katie Lea, and I know for a fact when you look at she can wrestle as well.
She can. She was Nikita here in the UK. And, she can go. She's in ECW now.
I know. Yeah, it's a shame, really. But anyway,
I don't know why they put her down there.
Yes. Michelle McCool, is she the Divas champion again?
Michelle McCool is the women's champion.
Ah, she's the women's. Okay, here we go. Do you think because she's with The Undertaker, so to speak... this is a smart mark here. How much, in your opinion, is that the reason why she's the Divas champion? Or does that not come into it at all? What do you reckon?
Put it this way. I reckon if she suddenly split with The Undertaker, her push would vanish a bit because it would all be a bit awkward in the locker room.
Ah, I see.
That's what I think. So I don't think that she necessarily has got the belt because she's with The Undertaker, but I'm thinking if she wasn't with The Undertaker, it would all get a bit awkward and weird in the locker room, and I wouldn't be surprised if she lost it.
Ah, well, there you go. Wise words from a wise man.
Thank you.
Talking about pushing and The Undertaker, yes, he's our next match. He beat CM Punk, Rey Mysterio, and Batista. The Undertaker, we wondered, I think, why he was champion after the last pay-per-view. In some ways, but I think the big story coming out of this match, for me anyway, was that whole Rey Mysterio Batista
thing. It's certainly a story. Looking, I mean, they've been talking, they have had several plans to turn Batista heel, but it just never happened because this thing came up, or that thing came up, or someone else got hurt, or he got hurt, or something. So there's always been talk of it. But to be honest with you, a bit of me agreed with you after this match in that I don't know if Taker needs the belt.
No, I don't think he does. It's a bit like, I mean, let's be honest, Triple H doesn't need the belt ever again to get over to a certain degree. I'm sure he will have the belt again.
Probably.
Shawn Michaels doesn't really need the belt. I think John Cena, to a certain extent, doesn't really need the belt.
I think it's all right when Cena has it because you know he's reliable.
That's very true. He is their go-to guy, and as many would say, he's also one of WWE's biggest draws, especially now Jeff Hardy's gone.
Definitely.
So I guess you've got that, but yes, the Undertaker doesn't need to be the champion. Batista, nice heel turn there. I liked it. He said to Ray, "I'm going to knock your head off." Very matter-of-factly, didn't he?
Indeed. I mean, I wondered if it was a bit, this will sound odd, a bit unnecessarily wordy. Stuff like, "I'm going to rip your head off," he should have just taken his head off.
Yeah, that's true, yeah. I do think, though, I had nothing wrong. The way it was done was fantastic. What I would have liked is maybe like a couple of chair shots, you know, like really destroy Rey Mysterio. So we doubt whether if he does appear on SmackDown, he's going to be limping at the very least, for example, you know?
If you wanted to really make him a heel, have him put Rey through a table or something.
No, yeah, exactly. Yeah, in front of his son. There you go, that'd do it.
oh, that's good.
Yeah, I, you know what, actually, I'd imagine that, you know, that could happen down the line, a nice way of making Batista even more disliked. I think the potential for Batista being a heel is, at the moment, quite good. I reckon he could get a nice storyline. He could get a nice storyline going. I wouldn't even be surprised if he ends up keeping this heel persona and being the champion going into WrestleMania. That would not surprise me.
I have got one doubt about this whole thing, right?
Yes.
Batista as a person is a nice enough guy and has got a great look and is decent enough in the ring so that he has the charisma to be a face. Does he have the acting talent to be a heel?
The last time he was a heel, he was in Evolution, wasn't he?
Good point.
But that he was helped there by Randy Orton, wasn't he?
He was sort of carried and protected by the other three.
That's true. Yeah, Randy Orton, Triple H, and the Triple H. So yeah, he was carried to a certain extent. So this is going to be a test for Rey Mysterio. I mean, he doesn't have the talent, for example, of a Chris Jericho. His heel turn was one of the, you know, he's been one of the best heels of the last few years.
I think Batista should be one of those angry heels.
Angry heels.
One of those angry heels. One of those people who just shouts all the time. So Batista, why have you done this to Ray? I don't have to answer to you! Yeah, that kind of thing. He should be like a sort of...
I see what you mean. He can't be a wordy heel like a Chris Jericho. He couldn't pull it off, could he?
No, he couldn't.
No, he doesn't have... I mean, for example, like Jericho, quite similar in a way to Jake the Snake Roberts. He just has this kind of charisma when he's doing his promos that comes over. Even Jericho, he speaks quite calm compared to some heels, like a Batista. You know, like he's not a shouty heel. So, yeah, I'm definitely with you there. I'm seeing that. The fact that Batista, yeah, he's not going to be a wordy, mega, mega promo on the mic type heel. That's for sure.
No, because he's not that way as a face either.
No, he doesn't really. Yeah, you're right. He doesn't really say much as a face at all. Definitely more of a doer. But I'm excited. Yeah. I'd imagine they're going to have Mysterio, Batista, unfortunately, at the Survivor Series. As you're right, this kind of a thing could, you know, if they did it right, it could quite happily stretch to WrestleMania. If you look at the Michaels Jericho feud, that went for most of the year, didn't it?
Certainly did.
So.
I think this has got the wheels storyline wise to be a WrestleMania match.
Definitely, I completely agree. The WWE though seem to have this horrible habit of shooting really quickly, hot footing. I don't know what the actual saying is. I get it wrong, but you know, getting these they seem to rush these feuds too much.
I know exactly what you mean, and I'm not too sure what the right word is either. What is the word?
Hot-footing? I don't know.
Shooting early something.
Shooting. Wow, well, you've got my disease of being crap at trying to...
Yeah, I can't come up with any phrases suddenly. I've inherited it of you. You must have passed it on to me that time Anyway.
Hot-shotting? Hot-shotting?
No, that was the other thing we did when we... Do any of you know what the right word is? Email us at www.podcast@googlemail.com. What the fuck are we trying to say?
Yes, that's the put that as a subject. What the fuck are you trying to say?
Exactly.
So there you go. Okay.
They have a habit of doing things a bit right away when they'd be good if they held them off for a bit.
Something like that. Good.
Yes.
Moving on, Team SmackDown versus Team Raw. My, you know, the highlight of this for me was Chris Jericho hugging that trophy, like it showing us how much it meant to him.
Yeah, having Jericho be the captain is cool because him with that trophy makes him even more annoying as a heel.
Oh, it was great. Vintage Jericho.
Vintage vintage bragging rights trophy action.
Yeah, yes, vintage bragging rights trophy action. It was quite...
That was your nickname at school, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. It was a fun match, though.
It was a good match. Yeah, I liked it. It was, I think it was in hindsight, and I feel weird saying this, but I think it probably was the right move bringing in the more established guys into the SmackDown team because it ended up as a good match.
Yeah, you're right. You're probably right. Going into it, we were like, oh my goodness me, this is why there's no new stars. And
they should have just done that from the beginning, though, instead of teasing this Escobar and McIntyre and now making them look a bit weird.
See, they could have had Escobar and McIntyre, like a tag team, versus another two people, random skibbies, on Raw and had it like a Battle Royal elimination match instead of that horrible Divas match. There you go.
Excellent idea. Had one of them win it and make them look, and so they still look strong.
Yes, completely agree. But anyway, fun match. I enjoyed it. Are we going to get something like this in the Survivor Series, but obviously an elimination match rather than just a one fall?
I don't know. I mean, that's the obvious move, but they didn't mention that at all on Raw, did they?
No, and it would really, if they want to do bragging rights pay-per-view with this SmackDown versus Raw, because that's what Survivor Series has been over the last few years, hasn't it? It's been a SmackDown team versus a Raw team, or, you know, they're all a mix and match to some extent. But you do have SmackDown versus Raw people on the Survivor Series throughout the last few years, haven't you?
Indeed, it's certainly not the first time they've done this, is it?
No, and, well, what does that mean for Survivor Series? Are we going to have any Survivor Series, you know, classic Survivor Series type matches now?
Well, I reckon that they may do some, but I don't know. I mean, it's just, I would be surprised if there aren't any, but I can't think of any obvious ones because you think often it's good if they build them around a tag team, right? But the major tag teams, Big Show is in a match.
Yep.
DX are in a match.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't leave much already.
No, and you know what? I thought before, obviously, we talked about the Raw results and Raw happened. I thought after this pay-per-view, I was almost convinced that we were going to have Big Show Jericho versus DX for the tag titles at Survivor Series.
Me too. It looks like they're holding that off for a bit.
Yeah, it does. After the Survivor Series, either Shawn Michaels or Triple H or Big Show being champions.
I agree with you. I don't think any of them will win.
No, because there's been too many title changes so far this year. You don't want another one.
Exactly. When Cena has the belt, it is usually for a good length run, and Show's not going to win it. He's not even on the damn show.
Yes, yeah, he better not win it. No, that's for sure. So, talking about championships, the last match, John Cena versus Randy Orton, 60-minute anything-goes, falls count anywhere, Iron Man match, that's a mouthful, for the WWE Championship. If John Cena lost, he would have left the Raw brand, presumably gone to SmackDown. Alas, that's not going to happen. What did you think of this match?
We were going into it thinking all sorts of things. It could be a classic. It could be terrible. It was certainly closer to a classic. I was on the edge of my seat for the end. I thought it was a pretty good match with a fantastic ending.
So we're all agreed, match of the night. Yeah.
Yes.
Good. Yeah, and I agree. I think I was owed. I know it's an Iron Man match, and obviously this is asking too much, but I think I was only a bit upset for about 10 minutes throughout the match when they didn't seem to be doing too much. Other than that, it was fantastic. It's an Iron Man match, though. You're going to get that, aren't you? A set apart where not that much happens. But brilliant spots all the way through. I really liked this match.
I did too. It was, and I got to admit, Orton impressed me.
He did. He was quite good. He was brilliant. Like, especially with, I like the fact when he was doing the pyro, pressing the button for the pyro, then it didn't work and he just went crazy.
He went a bit mental at times, didn't he?
Yes, he did go a bit mental. He just couldn't get seen. And I tell you what, booking wise, they really, he did come off stronger than Cena to a certain degree when you think about it. He beat up Cena for, I'd say, about 70%, well, over half of the match. He had the advantage, didn't he? I felt.
Definitely. He did that more than a little bit.
Yeah, and at the end of the match, you kind of felt he got screwed. I mean, he RKO'd him. There was a ref bump, which he, you know, and the ref came in, 1, 2, 3, he didn't pin him. You know, Cena just got the, he just got the two count. And then he almost held on for the STFU as well. So he did come out of it looking quite strong.
Definitely. He looked the stronger of the two for most of the match, didn't he?
Yeah, I felt that. Whether that was the right way to go, booking-wise, when John Cena's your champion, I don't know. But I don't really think in the long term it's gonna hurt John Cena. But
Not at all.
No. And it's going to be interesting. We got Kofi Kingston, as you said, versus Randy Orton. Would you make Kofi win that match? I probably wouldn't, but I don't know. I'd definitely make him try and go evens with Randy Orton and have him just lose, you know?
I suspect that is what will happen.
Yeah, a bit like a Jeff Hardy's done, like with The Undertaker, and when he's got the opportunity to face a big guy back in the day, before he was, you know, like a megastar, he normally just by the skin of his teeth lost, in the sense that you thought, oh, if they have another match, definitely Jeff Hardy's got, you know, a good chance, you know?
I think that's what will happen. I think he'll come close, but won't quite get it.
No. And then we've got the inevitable Ted DiBiase versus Randy Orton feud. That's coming, I imagine, sooner rather than later.
It's got to happen.
Yeah, and I think I think Ted DiBiase needs to win that feud overall. Perhaps not win the first few matches, but he definitely needs to win the payoff match, I think, to really help him, push him up.
Do you think he's ready for top line yet?
Everyone says he does. I don't think he is. But we've seen it before where, I mean, if you remember when Triple H first hit the big time and won the title, not that I'm saying Ted DiBiase should win the title, but when a Triple H first did it, if you remember, I felt he wasn't ready in 1999 to be the champion. But come the end of 1999 and throughout the beginning of 2000, he definitely proved us wrong.
That's true. I think his best run as a champion were his first two or three runs.
Yep, I completely agree. That was when he was at his best as a heel. That's when, in my opinion, he did his best work in the ring as well.
That's what I mean. I think he did his best as a wrestler in those early days. And in this instance, I think DiBiase, if he's not ready yet, he's getting close. But my only concern is that he's a bit similar to Orton. How will those two be in a match together? Will it get a bit boring?
Well, yeah, that's true, isn't it? Will it get a bit boring? I don't know. I guess only time will tell. Could be, though.
I guess only time will tell. So I reckon as long as these matches are not too long, then those two will have some fine matches.
Yes. Yeah. Yep. Yes. They.
As for who will come out in the feud, I reckon it could be something like DiBiase, 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 win, 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 win. The DVD is launched. Win, win, win. The DVD is already launched. Lose.
Yeah. That'd be one way of doing it, wouldn't it?
So that's another possibility as well. I'm gonna stay on the fence with this one. Not sure how it's going to go, but that's another possibility.
So what would you do with Cody Rhodes then? Obviously, legacies. Would you have a new legacy, or
a new legacy? Well, like Orton, Rhodes, and who?
Orton, Rhodes, and who? Doesn't Ted DiBiase has a younger brother? He was the man that ran in to the SummerSlam match, if I remember.
Oh yeah, Mike.
Yes, I think that's the name.
He's Mike, yeah. I think he's named after his granddad. I could be making that up, but I think he's named after his granddad. So Ted's dad.
Ted's dad.
As in Ted DiBiase Sr.'s dad.
Yes.
So, yeah, that's a possibility. They could bring in Mike as the replacement member. Oh, well done. I hadn't thought of that. Anyway.
Well, there you go. There's an interesting interview in PowerSlam magazine involving Triple H. I won't go into that now because I haven't read it, but I'll try and read it for next time we come on and we can talk about that. But anyway, cool. Yes. So Ted DiBiase. I'll tell you what then. Before we do go, we've discussed the bragging rights match. Hulk Hogan to TNA along with Eric Bischoff. Who do you think is going to be the breakout stars in the next year then, assuming there will be any? Actually, Mike, I've got a better question, right?
Yeah?
Okay. We've got Triple H, John Cena, Undertaker, Randy Orton, Shawn Michaels. Yeah?
Yeah?
They all get kidnapped for a whole year in WWE.
All get kidnapped for a year.
Yeah, who are your big stars, in your opinion, over the next year? When you can take them out. Yep.
Miz, Kingston,
mm-hmm.
MVP,
yep.
Michelle McCool.
Michelle McCool. Yes, I could see her being the unified WWE World Heavyweight Champion at the next WrestleMania.
If Taker wants it to happen, it could happen.
Yes. Will she? Yes. I could see her ending Taker's streak as well at WrestleMania. Oh, no. No.
Thing is, when you think about it, the sort of things that are happening in wrestling over the years, because obviously you get some weird things happening, maybe more with certain other people in charge of the booking, but you know, you've obviously had some very strange things happen. When you think about it, right, if you've got The Undertaker dating Michelle McCool, right?
Yeah.
She's got to be like the only one who Batista hasn't slept with.
That's very
what
true.
If?
Oh, that'd be good. That'd be a nice feud, wouldn't it? Batista versus The Undertaker. You slept with my... Yes, a Michelle McCool on a pole match.
McCool.
Bloody hell.
Michelle, she slept with Michael Cole as well.
Oh, that'd be great, wouldn't it? Yes, a triple threat. I'd like that.
So you're saying that you want to see The Undertaker's unbeaten streak beaten by Michael Cole after he sleeps with Michelle McCool?
Yes, wouldn't it? Yes, I'd like that.
On a pole.
On a pole, yep. There you go.
Well, we've booked WrestleMania now.
Well, better than WrestleMania 25, that's for sure.
It's going to be Rey versus Batista. It's going to be Cole versus McCool versus... It's just in. Michelle McCool sleeps with Michael Cole.
There you go. For breaking news, boys and girls.
And also, I wonder, you know who else might be a star if everyone else gets kidnapped?
Yep.
Do you think we'll see the returning Booker T? Do you think it'll happen?
The returning Booker T. Yeah, I think he is going to return to WWE in some guise or another. You know what? Normally I say WWE doesn't really need him, but they seem to be lacking in star power. Well, because they haven't made many new stars. So, it wouldn't surprise me. And I think I'd use Booker T to get over some new people. You know, like a nice feud with maybe an MVP, a John Morrison or a Kofi Kingston would be good when he comes in.
MVP, certainly a bit of a favourite of ours.
Yeah, I like... Yeah, he's underutilised. He's one of these talents that... I mean, when he first came in, and I really thought he was going to win this year's Money in the Bank, and he didn't. And it's a bit like had they booked him right, he could have been, a main event star for about a year now, had they booked him right, but they haven't.
Indeed, that's the thing. but they haven't.
No, but I guess we'll have all that to talk about on our We Fix WWE 2-year anniversary show. So,
you know what else we'd like to have for that show? We'd like to have some suggestions. Email www.podcast@googlemail.com.
Oh, there you go. Yes, yes.
King of the plug.
Think of the plug. Yes.
No, I said I'm king of the plug. Where are you putting this plug?
What kind of a plug is it?
Well, that's up to you. You brought it up.
I did bring it. It's a big, long plug.
Big, long plug.
That hums? Yes.
Well, after you've used it.
Sorry. No, that's all right. Obviously. No,
I'm not sorry. Fuck it.
I'm not sorry. F it. So there you go. You don't play games, do you? Because the new SmackDown vs. Raw 2010 is now out, and it's meant to be great.
I'm gonna get that.
Yeah, you know you. What I used to do, I used to make people that I work with that I wasn't too keen on and beat up with a chair.
Sorry.
Well, you know that I used to make people I work with, you know, and they create a wrestler and then get a chair and just hammer them.
Wow, that's therapy of sorts.
It is. It's pretty messed up. Maybe we can do that. I mean, I'm going to make a creator wrestler of Michael Cole, you know, and I'm going to put...
I thought you were going to say Michael Chalkley for a second.
No. Michael, and I'm going to put... You can put the settings in. I'm going to put DQs off, and I'm also going to put tap outs off. You know, give up is off, and I'm going to put him in the STFU, and he's going to be tapping, and the match is not going to end, and I'm going to keep making him tap and tap for a whole hour.
You are fucking twisted.
Well, you know, and I'm going to go, look at this vintage tapping, you bastard.
Vintage tapping?
Yes.
Did you work with Michael Cole and disliked him? Is this something you've never mentioned?
No, I never did. You know what? I
That's why you hate him. Did you work for WWE.com?
Did I work for WWE.com? Yeah, no, I didn't actually, no. Who? Joey Styles is in charge of that, isn't he?
Is he in charge of it? I know he works there. I didn't know if he was in charge or not.
Well, yeah. Why does... I put it in to Google. Why does everyone hate Michael Cole? And someone's put on a forum, in my mind, he is a future Hall of Famer and fantastic announcer.
And what's your take on this, James?
Well, everyone knows my take. He's horrible.
Well, that's one way of looking at it.
Yeah. I didn't want to swear too much.
Why not?
Because, I don't know, it's a bit like opening a floodgate, you know, or roller skating down a hill without brakes. Once you start, I couldn't stop, Mike. This would be a 3-hour marathon of a show.
Wow.
Yes.
The anti-Michael Cole show.
Yeah, indeed, the anti-Michael Cole show. But so...
Maybe one day. Maybe for your birthday.
Yes, maybe for your birthday. We can have a... Yep, definitely.
Your birthday.
My birthday.
I don't mind the guy so much, as you know. But perhaps for your birthday, we'll have a special We Hate Cole show.
Oh, thank you very much. I'd really appreciate that.
That's no problem. I'll arrange it.
Oh, thank you. So
I'll speak to the board of directors.
Wow. I still say what we should do.
What's that?
I've told you before, but I'll say it again. I don't know if I can do it for our 2-year anniversary. Something, but you know WWE, they're on the stock market, aren't they?
Yes.
We should buy a share, at least one share.
I thought about this.
And we would be the only wrestling show on the internet that owns the WWE.
That would be so cool. You can do a thing on the internet where you buy like one share and get it like framed, a bit of paper framed. I am a small owner of WWE.
Oh yeah, and because you even have one share, they have to send you all their like financial reports if you request it and things as well, don't they?
Thing is, if we own literally one share, does that mean if we want, we could turn up at the meetings?
I don't know. We might get a shout in their conference calls. Perhaps.
Wow.
Whether they're meetings, I don't know if we'll be invited or we could go. I can't see why not. But yeah, they might say, but we are entitled, because they're a public company anyway, but they will send us their figures. And it wouldn't, I'm sure, to a certain extent, we'd be able, if they do have a, I don't know how it all works. If they do have votes, if they had to vote on things, we'd definitely get a say in it, even if it is 0.0001%.
Wow.
I know Vince McMahon still owns 70% of the company, I think, but still, we will own a piece of the WWE. Our listeners, our whole radio show would own a piece of the WWE. What do you say to that, Mike?
I think it's a brilliant idea.
Yes. And you know what? They'll have a financial numbers on. They'll have a number we can call to talk about it as well. Live on the air, we talk to the WWE finance department.
Live on air, we talk to Vince McMahon. And after all, he just goes, shut up.
That'd make my day. That'd be enough, wouldn't it?
That would be enough, wouldn't it? And we could just record it as a clip. Ladies and gentlemen, this just in. Shut up.
Shut up. Yes. Oh, that would be absolute. Oh yes, and since we have his number, we could have a Vince McMahon soundboard and phone him up. That would really do it, wouldn't it?
What do you mean?
You know, you get these soundboards on the internet where you call someone up and you press buttons and pretend to be them.
Oh, that sort of thing.
Yeah.
Well, that's an idea. We could. Who could we ring?
Vince McMahon.
Well, we could ring Vince McMahon and pretend to be Vince McMahon.
Yeah, that'd be fantastic.
He'd think he's going mad in his old age. He'd retire.
Yeah, he would, wouldn't he? He'd retire. That'd be a good way to get him.
But the thing is, if he retired, that means he would then pass control to Stephanie.
Bloody hell. What the hell was that? Sorry about that.
What was what?
Oh, you didn't hear it. I heard it from my radio. I pressed something and I tried to get a Vince McMahon soundboard, and this is a completely failed.
Oh.
Yeah, sorry about that.
Just in, James is going mad.
Yes, I am.
I sort of heard something. It was like a... Whoa.
Yeah, first of all, I thought it was coming from you, and then I realised when I closed down this webpage that, you know, that was
Can you make it happen again?
I'll try. I've clicked on the Vince McMahon soundboard. Unfortunately, it's a dead link.
So, oh, damn it.
Yes. Oh, well.
Maybe, as Vince McMahon, we could ring Stephanie, tell her I'm passing control to Shane.
No, maybe... I'm passing control to two lovely boys in England, Michael Chalkley and James Kelly. There you go.
Oh, what a lovely idea. Or maybe we could do a thing where he says... I have bought WW Pod. That's right, I've bought my competition.
I now own my competition. Yes, a whole invasion angle. That would be good, wouldn't it?
An invasion angle, and it's just you and me. Hello. How's everyone?
We would last about 2 minutes in that locker room. I'd forget to shake someone's hand, and The Undertaker would chastise me and beat me.
That's just it. If we didn't turn up dressing like champions, we'd be buried beyond belief.
Yeah, that is very true. Dressing, but yes.
That's just it. That's what we'll do. We sleep with the Undertaker.
And become the Divas champion.
The champion.
Yeah, that'd be good. Yes, yes.
We both sleep with the Undertaker. You become the Diva champion. I become the women's champion.
That'd be good. Yeah, that'd be... wow, this show's fallen off a cliff, hasn't it? It started with that breaking news, and now we're talking about sleeping with The Undertaker to become the Divas and Women's Champion, respectively.
The thing is, if we did that, that means that you would start having matches with the rest of the Women's Division.
That would be very good.
That could work. You'd enjoy that, wouldn't you, you pervert?
And you wouldn't?
Yes, I would.
Yes, I would. Yeah,
I wouldn't mind seeing Melina's entrance up close.
No, that'd be quite good. If you had to wrestle with one lady, who'd it be?
Melina.
But you know, I was going to say Mickie James, but at the moment I'm going for Natalya Neidhart.
Really?
I think she needs a push.
Oh, and a victory over you would be a push.
Yes, it would be.
Well, beating one of the owners.
Exactly, beating one of the owners.
That could work.
It would work, don't you worry, I'd make it work. Natalya Neidhart versus James Kelly, Melina versus Michael Chalkley. Yes, I tell you what, and you could become a tag team, it could be Eminem.
Wink.
You and Melina.
Me and Melina.
Yes, that'd be good. Mike and Melina, the new Eminem.
Mike and Melina. Hang on, you could team up with Kelly and be the Kellys.
Yes. Yes. We could be called Kelly, Kelly, Kelly.
You could be called Kelly, Kelly, Kelly.
Oh, I can't believe we're still talking about this. This
is... What fantasy world have we entered here?
Well, this all started with us owning WWE, if you remember.
Perhaps entered wasn't the right choice of word.
No, perhaps it wasn't. So before we go, Mr. Chalkley, do you have anything to say to our loyal fans?
Well, you know what, folks? I can't just leave it as that, as tempting as that may be, because I think I'm going to say something that needs to be said. I'm going to say something about what it is to be a wrestling fan. Pray silence.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, ladies and gentlemen, to be a wrestling fan. A poem by Michael Chalkley. To be a wrestling fan is to be many things. It is to love what we see in the ring. It is to think back over wonderful memories. It is to look with awe on these striking men and women and think, what would it be like to do such a thing? It is to look upon with awe on these incredible creatures and to think what it must be like to lead your country in a way, in such a manner, where you could perhaps represent your country and represent the fans like that. It is, in its way, a time where you can think to yourself, could I one day lead the masses of the wrestling fans? Could I one day be the savior of a generation, an Austin or a Hogan or an Austin Aries? It is to wonder, what would it take if I were to be one of these great men? It would be a thing if I could find a way to lead the masses, to find a way to represent the things in these people's hearts, to find a way just to find that way. But ladies and gentlemen, let me say to you this. As wrestling fans, we overlook a lot of bizarre things, ridiculous storylines, bizarre booking, and Mark Henry matches for cosmetic purposes only. But I will say this. To be a wrestling fan is to, of course, appreciate what these people do in a way that lay people understand, in a way that lay people think is foolhardy, in a way that people think of as football or rugby or other of crap, that like the cosmetic ice cubes of life are purely decorational. This is purely a way in which we can stand as individuals, in which we can stand as one, in which we can be wrestling fans. Ladies and gentlemen, my gift to you. Please salute the national anthem of Land of Hope and Glory as it is to be a wrestling fan.